This is Monocle on Design, Monocle's weekly show dedicated to the best in architecture, industrial design, graphics and fashion. I'm Josh Fennett. Coming up today, we bring you all the fun of the fair, from the opening day of the design calendar's most important appointment, the Milan Furniture Fair. Plus,
the secret to commissioning is to allow somebody to do their own thing. You can't put them in an arm lock. And hopefully, the end result should be almost better than the original idea.
I take a little time to sit down with hotelier and interior designer Kit Kemp to talk about her seemly new book. All that coming up right here on Monocle on Design on Monocle 24 with me, Josh Fennett. Do stay tuned. Now this week, Monocle's London and Zurich offices are feeling, well, a little light on the ground. Yes, much of the editorial floor and daily Monocle 24 outfit has decamped to the Tortona Design District to host a week of shows and lively debates from the Milan Furniture Fair. The first day of Salone del Mobile, as it's known, wrapped up in Milan today. And while there's plenty happening in the city, the vast grounds of the Ro Fiera Trade Hall is where much of the cut and thrust of the deal-making actually happens. It's here that hundreds of exhibitors set out spaces across tens of halls, chocked full of shelving, lighting, sofas and fine furniture, all of which is set to hit shop floors in the coming months. One of the colourful cast in attendance at the exhibition, by Italian firm Moroso, is the Spanish designer Patricia Urquiola. The prolific designer's work this year includes collaborations with the likes of Floss, Gann and Ketal. Urquiola is also the newly minted art director of Cascina, but one of her conditions for accepting the top job was the permission to continue working with a long-time collaborator, that of friend Patricia Moroso. This show's producer, Daphne Karnesis, met with Patricia Urquiola at the Moroso stand on the Fiera's first day to find out a little more.
I am Patricia Urquiola. I'm a designer. First day of Salone.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw you before putting the finishing touches on some of your setup. How do you feel that it's going so far? It's very early, you know, but...
Patricia Moroso is a very good friend, and they ended yesterday night, and then when I arrived, they were asking me if I liked it. One or another position of the sofa, but that's very normal in this kind of familiar relation I have with Patricia.
Yeah, and on that point, I mean, it's been a collaboration that's been going on for how many years now?
Oh, I would say 20 years.
What's the secret to having such a long-lasting relationship with
Patricia Moroso? I think Patricia is being the first person that put me on the spot, that believed in me, and those things you never forget. Then, in another side, our relation became a very deep relation in a human way. Then, it's the truth. Like, I think it's one of my best friends. And we're still having independence. Each one does a lot of personal things by our own, other things, works, and everything. But we keep always a space for us, for having a personal path or to share a path together.
And I was curious to get your thoughts on this. Obviously, there's this Salone here, the Fiera, but there's also the Fuori Salone, the events in town. And maybe this year more than ever, I've sort of heard, you know, people saying, I guess, is it worth coming to the Fiera because there's so much also happening in town? But then again, I've heard people say that in town it's becoming a bit too much of a spectacle, a bit too sort of artsy. What do you think? Is it a balance or...?
Salone del Mobile has a long, long story, but it's the capital of design for 1 week. And we are more than 500,000 person here. Then what I think is each of us has to find his personal path, like, through all these waves of information, no? I think there are many possibilities to move to Salone, but today with the capacities of websites, friends, and blah, blah, there are many ways to find your personal time for doing the right things to do. Then some, I think the Salone, the physical Salone, if you have clear ideas, possibly you can see interesting things. And outside of Salone, if you have the right, many times me, I always ask to the architects and designers and friends, please send me the first 2 days the things you like it. And then I inquire them and I go to see the things they say to me. And then I have to work for the companies I'm working, and that's part of the work. But I always visit 3-4 things that they needed to be seen, and it's all about communication, no? I've been involved this year in 3 things, which is, well, here we are in Moroso and in the fair. I am always connected with another fantastic girl, which is Mappy from Ghana. They do carpeting, and she did...
Is that the nuances that I saw?
Yes. And in little space, she gave an energy, and we did a sustainable path, a very interesting thing, and with just a little, you know, just capturing the imagination of people in a very short way, in a very easy way. That's what I like from GAN. And I worked with Ketal, that we have a space here. You have to see where they were reproducing, because they have the rights for a pavilion from Richard Neutra. And then we just did, I think, a very delicate and interesting and cultural little pavilion. Then it's, I think, a little jewel inside the fair.
Because, of course, you also design some of the stands as well as exhibiting your own products in them.
Well, if they are my friends, we work together in four hands. With Patricia, we had this box, and we did a kind of shift with the colors, a geometry on the geometry. And we've been thinking all this year about new materials and this idea of nature and another way to get a smoother relation to many new research of materials. I'm very interested about my work done with Sissi Tapi. We did Fordite, a kind of stone carpets. The name is Fordite, and Fordite are stones done with the left of the painting they use for doing cars. It's something which is, we're doing a research about this kind of material, which is Fordite done by the men, and it's done with left. And then we were reproducing that in the iconography of my work with Sissi Tapi. There are different things, always looking to the material as a kind of element that can help us a lot to rethink part of our problems in relation with process and production. And Patricia is in a moment thinking a lot about this. We are thinking about new sustainable path, new arguments that I think is not, we don't see them only this year, we will see them in the next years too. And we have a lot of work to do, yeah. All of us.
And do you do the research together? Do you have your own studio where you try out new materials and processes? Or?
And I have my own studio and I do my research. But with Patricia, we've been always... We speak at the phone. The concepts run by the phone. I said, you just yes, understood. He made it. She sent me a photo thing. Then we begin our research. I do it, the fabric in with the computer in the studio. We speak with a company. They produce. Then Patricia control. We look at them. We do... The whole path, really. She comes many times to my house. I go to Udine. We share a lot of things. It's difficult to explain because it's really, there are not limits in between us. When I began 3 years ago, my art direction in Cassina, which is something I'm doing in a, it's taking a lot of my energy and my time because it's a tough thing and I'm very proud about. I only said to them, I will keep in relation with Moroso because I
want to competitor. Lose
the energy of this flow of concepts and research we do. And they said to me, it's okay.
Thanks to Daphne Karnizes for that report. Now, Monocle devotees will know all too well that as well as the printed magazine, we're also partial to producing a series of seasonal, large-format newspapers that celebrate events and capture our imagination. As such, our special Salone-themed issue of the newspaper is out now and available at all good newsstands or at monocle.com. Within its fine printed pages, we offer previews of the fair, Q&As with the movers and shakers, and tips on getting the most from your time in the Lombard capital. To celebrate the paper's release, we asked Monocle's senior editor, Robert Bound, to give us some hard-won wisdom on the professional meet-and-greet circuit that the annual trade fair becomes for professionals.
Like Paris Fashion Week, Art Basel and the Venice Biennale, the Salone del Mobile is an event that pulls people from all over the world to a square mile of, in this case, Milanese tarmac. Once you're there, as an editor, a buyer or a dealer, you're primed to meet and be met as you wander the halls. For a week, you live in the knowledge, or is it fear, that around every display and directional lighting structure, you're going to bump into the people that you bump into three times a year, either in a hangar full of chairs or, later, at a bar where the free Negronis are disappearing quicker than a T-bone in a piranha tank. Whether or not you want to do all this bumping into and be confronted by all these ad hoc highs is debatable. In many ways, Salone and its cousins are all about the craft of the meet and greet and the art of the avoid. It starts at the airport. Heathrow at dawn is no one's idea of a hot date or a serendipitous job interview or really of anything at all. But that's where they'll all be. All of your colleagues and co-conspirators, your friends, enemies, lovers, nemeses, and those plain old bores with their 7 a.m. prep breath, still doing the sit and zip on their overstuffed suitcases as they pass passport control. Oh, of course, they have witty boxes. Somehow you just knew. Who are these guys at the gate? They are the tribes. The collector and their partner sitting pretty and aloof. The dealers and their assistants scrutinising an iPad of contacts, buyers and prices. Eye-rolling, here we go again, to their frenemies at other galleries, while thinking of commission in terms of zeros and tan lines and sand in their loafers. The press officers are smart and a little stressed and eyeing the queue for people they might have left off the list. And the editors... well, the editors seem sometimes in charge of their week's destiny of one long read and a dozen interviews and updates, and other times seem frantic or dazed or hungover or dumb. There are the people you love enough to say hello to later, and the people you loathe and whom you just know you'll be sat next to. There are the people whose emails you haven't returned in a year who scream, "I thought you died," as they give you the old air kiss flyby. And there are the people whose names you can't quite remember, but whose hotel bathtubs you absolutely loved. Maybe you had died and gone to heaven. Then again. Finally, there's that whole other tribe that no one can quite place, the people that are going for fun. Are they friends of galleries or buyers but not collectors? Or are they just going for a jolly? Everyone but everyone is jealous of this gang of people who've dressed for a party, are staying at the Four Seasons, and who think it's really, really, really fun to be up so early. Imagine. On board, the chats. The god-awful chats. 15D comes and natters over-familiarly while 2A is reading his FT. Two people behind you discuss the story that you've written and get every single fact wrong, but are upset by what they thought you'd written. The guy you hate asks you what you're working on and then starts texting as you answer before going to the washroom four times and you're on the aisle. What a dick. There are ways to negotiate this maze, of course. Sunglasses and scowls and miming being on the phone, but really, you're here like every other member of the tribe, every other buffalo in the stampede, to make the most of it and roll it over and come back next year. Face it, gang, you're addicted to it and you'd miss it. Now kindly get out of my way. That's my taxi.
Our sincere thanks to Monocle's Robert Bound there, voicing his essay from the Monocle Salone edition, our seasonal newspaper, which is on all good newsstands and available at monocle.com right now.
This is your final call for boarding flight M24 to Milan.
All aboard, Monocle 24 is taking off to Milan for a week of special coverage from the world's biggest furniture fair, Salone del Mobile. We'll be hearing from some of the most exciting people in the worlds of architecture, design, and publishing, with highlights from Monocle's unrivaled network of editors and correspondents, and perhaps even a few cinnamon buns, courtesy of the Monocle Cafe. Join us for our special coverage of Salone del Mobile in Milan, all this week on Monocle 24.
Known for her playful interiors and bold use of colour, textures and textiles, Kit Kemp is the co-owner and design director of London-based group Ferndale Hotels. And if you're interested in how she makes such a wonderful job of those hotels, Kit Kemp Design Thread is a new book published by Hardy Grant, which celebrates the fated hotelier's work and glimpses into her playful creations. Kit Kemp joined me here at Midori House last week to talk about why British craft is anything but dead and, of course, the art of hospitality.
I think you can actually be a specialist as you wish to be. If you're a technophobe, you can be quite minimalist. But if you're someone like I am, who likes colour, and I think if you travel a lot and feel quite homesick, if you go into a room which has a warmth and colour about it, it's the easiest way of making you happy.
And when I look at the beautiful interiors that you've done in your own Fermdale hotels and the products that you have made, I see a sense of, if you don't mind me saying, a sense of theatre, a sense of texture, a bit of razzmatazz, and a bit of humour and fun as well. Is that still part of the debate in the hospitality industry? Are we still allowed to have a bit of fun in hotels?
I think it has to have a bit of whimsy. And I think a room should make you smile. It shouldn't be too serious. And I think there always has to be that little level of fantasy. You might meet someone. There might just be someone going around a corner that you would like to meet. But also with my design, you have to be pulled from one area to the other. And if there's something exciting just around the corner, then you want to be curious and look a little bit more.
And textiles are a huge part of your work and what you do. I think our listeners would be intrigued to hear how that all got started and how it developed across properties in London to New York, all of your projects that you do with different kind of craftsmen, which I know is an important part of your work. Where does that thread lead us back to? When did you first get interested in the art?
I think I've always loved craft and a love of fabrics. And of course, over time, you find there are things that you can't find in the marketplace. So inevitably and quite organically, you start designing your own fabrics. And then working with craftsmen, the secret to commissioning is to allow somebody to do their own thing. You can't put them in an arm lock. And hopefully you have an original idea of what you want to achieve, but the end result should be almost better than the original idea. And you can only do that working with someone rather than dictating.
And is it easy to find British craftsmen? You hear about all the luxury houses moving manufacturing to Italy or to Portugal. The cost of manufacturing things in the UK is prohibitive in some instances. But are there still people doing this interesting work?
Oh,
are there still places to find
it? Yes. And it's not just down here, it's in the north of England. I mean, you've got to go to Accrington and Lancaster. I mean, I almost feel like a citizen of Accrington now. I just knew that there was an Accrington Stanley, but I knew nothing about the factories there. And I love it. I mean, I love working with everybody in the factory. They don't look like designers. They look like they've come straight out of the pub. But in fact, their knowledge that they don't even know that they've got is generational. And I feel that if we lose it for one generation, it's gone. So it's so important.
So I'm intrigued. Are there many people turning up to what sounds like a busy, rather smoky pub in Accrington, offering people the chance to embroider beautiful chairs, to do beautiful wall hangings, to be a part of these beautiful hotels that you and your husband, Tim, create? Are people surprised when you come rapping at the pub door?
Well, they shouldn't be surprised, but I think they are if you want to go there personally and see how it's done, because there are so many methods of printing, from silk screening through to block printing, through to digital printing. And whatever you do, there's going to be the best method of achieving it. And what I want to achieve when I'm making something with a machine, a loom, is something which is handcrafted. And sometimes the latest techniques will allow you to do that. Not only with fabrics, but also with carpets. I've done a whole carpet collection for Wilton's.
And the wonderful thing, I suppose, about craft is that in an age of digital where everything you touch on a backlit screen feels the same, is that there is a sense of origin and a sense of place with these products. This is a skill that you've brought to hospitality. Needless to say, how do you make all of the hotels feel like they're of the place that they're from? Is it to do with filling them with craft from that place? Or is
well,
it
I think there has to be a sense of arrival, a sense of arrival when you just walk through the door, and to pique people's curiosity. Also, I love British art. I love things that are English. And we have such a resource of really good artists. I mean, I always feel that we actually almost look down on our artists here. In America, you know, they have their Jackson Pollocks. They have all their really well-known artists that they've absolutely blown to mega proportions. But if you talk over here about our Cornish artists, for example, like Sandra Blow or Brian O'Casey, my goodness, I mean, they've actually just died sort of within the last 10 years, but there isn't even a retrospective of their work. And I feel that we don't give them the place that they deserve. So if I can do that in my hotels and get people to be curious about it, at least we've achieved something.
One of the things that we're here to talk about in specific detail is a rather beautiful new book I have in front of me. It's by the Australian imprint Hardy Grant, which obviously has a big following of design, beautiful cookbooks, etc. here in the UK as well. Kit Kemp Design Thread. How did this come about?
Well, this is the third book, and we thought that it would be interesting to look at the detail that goes behind a lot of our designs within the hotels and also just the origins of the fabrics, the crafts, the artists, and the people that I'm working with all the time. And so rather like our design blog that we do, it's looking inside our workroom and seeing how we work. I think people are interested in that. I think people these days actually want to work in a team. And so often when you're working at home doing creative things, you almost want to sort of switch in and find out more. So Design Thread is part of that. But it also then looks at the different things that we've done from a Manhattan penthouse through to a new build hotel from concept to completion in New York, a Caribbean beach bar, and just little tiny places in town. So making the most of big ideas in small spaces.
And there are a lot of threads within the book. There is craft, there's design, there are beautiful interiors. We've even got a little glut of recipes, which is a lovely thing to see too. But I'm intrigued. It must be like furnishing a room, I suppose. How do you decide when it's done? How do you decide what to leave on the cutting room floor when it comes to a book and the many facets to your work? Was that a hard thing to decide what to leave out?
Well, I think it's always the same. When you start the book, you have to have a core of an idea, but you're thinking, my goodness, how am I going to fill those pages? And then suddenly sitting down with the team, and I have a fabulous team around me with Craig Markham and Fiona McCarthy, and also Simon Brown, who's our photographer. Suddenly when we're sitting around the table, at the end of the day, we're trying to take things out rather than putting them in. So there's always a cornucopia of ideas. And in a sense, you're always having to cull them. And so that there is a sort of intelligent thread that goes through the book.
And it's been said by lots of very boring, bald German men in the middle of the century that design is purely to solve problems. I would refute that, the modernist mantra. I think design can be beautiful too. And I think that's part of your work. How would you answer that if someone said design is just to solve problems? Do you think there is a case for ornamentation, for bright colours, and for making people feel a certain way when they sit in the centre of a room and look at these beautiful crafted objects?
Yes, I do. And having just come back from Vienna and having gone to the Belvedere there that has the most glorious Gustav Klimt paintings in them, you can see actually how ornamentation has lasted. And they're still completely mesmeric. And I think really good design will last. I mean, it has to have function. There are various things that have to work with it. But I think we glory in it. And I think with interior design, it's not rocket science, but it can actually be underestimated with the contentment that it can give you.
And at the risk of understating the amount of work that you're doing, Kit, you have 8 properties, I believe, here in London and many more in New York. But where can you see popping up on the horizon? Are there plans for another destination, a different concept, a new idea? And just as an addendum to that, how do you keep your ideas fresh when you approach a new market or a new project?
Well, we're not into world domination, and there has to be a balance. So each project that we do is like our own little work of art and something that we love to do. So rather than proliferating everywhere, whatever we do, it has to work in every aspect. And actually, I can cycle around all our properties in London. And in New York, it's just been a couple of total new builds, which is quite frightening, the original prospect when you're just looking at a bare piece of land. But it's been exciting. And of course, we've got another project that we're just working on at the moment in Tribeca. So that's going to be another new build. And over here in Soho in London, there's a new building that we've been looking at too.
And just as a final question, a lot of your hotels do a thing which I think a lot of hotels struggle with, which is to ignite the area around it, to bring people footfall who aren't necessarily going to just be overnighters at the hotel, but who are members of the community, great retailers from around the place. What's the secret to running a hotel in the age of Airbnb?
I think, actually, even though we don't realise it, there are neglected areas of London. And by putting a hotel in the centre can suddenly reinvigorate that street. For example, in Charlotte Street, when we built that, it was an old dental warehouse and a warehouse behind. Suddenly, it brought all those little shops together and made it into a whole. And also, I mean, it's not just the hotels. I mean, at the moment in New York, we're just doing the whole of the seventh floor for Bergdorf Goodman. And they're interested in our interiors and everything that we have brought to it. So it crosses over into people's lifestyle as well. You can't just be a hotel now. You've got to be more than that. You have to have your art walks, your art talks. It has to be a lifestyle thing, and it has to be living and changing all the time.
That was designer and hotelier Kit Kemp speaking to me last week. Kit Kemp Design Thread is out now and published by Hardy Grant. Do pick up a copy, you won't regret it. Sadly, that's all the time we have on today's show. Next week, we digest the best of the Milan Furniture Fair. And don't forget, if you do need a little more design-minded inspiration, you can subscribe to this show or our sister podcast, On Design Extra, which is available each Thursday. You could also pick up a copy of the latest issue of Monocle magazine or listen out across the Monocle schedule all week for updates from our team at the fair. If you're in Milan, do pop down to Via Tortona 31 and meet the team. Monocle on Design was produced by Daphne Karnesis and edited by the ever-patient Christy Evans. I'm Josh Fennett. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.